This is The State of Things, and we are live today from the Museum of Natural Sciences in downtown Raleigh. I'm Frank Stacio, reminding you that you can watch this radio show. A live stream is available at our website, stateofthings.org. Well, changes are coming to the way North Carolina evaluates and pays its 95,000 teachers. Legislation passed last year requires all school districts in the state to identify the top 25% of teachers and offer them small bonuses in exchange for giving up due process if they get fired. Some local school boards are fighting that mandate with resolutions and lawsuits, but other changes in the works will overhaul teacher compensation in a broader and more significant way. Dave DeWitt is WUNC's education reporter, and he joins us now to explain some of those changes. Welcome, Dave. Good to see you.
Hi, Frank.
North Carolina Educator Effectiveness and Compensation Task Force met yesterday. Tell us about that group and what they're talking about.
It sounds very important, doesn't it?
Big name.
It's the third meeting they've had, and it's a legislative committee, and it also has some folks who are principals and superintendents on it. It's House members, Senate members. They're getting together to talk about and hear ideas about how to improve their effectiveness rating system and evaluation system, and to talk about how to compensate teachers. They've heard a lot of different people come in and talk about a lot of different programs and projects, sort of the state of the research, merit-based pay programs for teachers. They're sort of in that process now where they're taking all this information in. Their next meeting in 2 weeks, April 14th, they'll come up with some recommendations to give to the legislature, which meets in its short session, and they can take up any of those ideas or none of them, however they want to do it. But there are changes coming to how they compensate and evaluate teachers.
Because the problem has been, if the legislature says, okay, we want to provide bonuses for the top 25%, well, how are you going to determine what the top 25% is, right?
That's right. And every district is essentially coming up with that process now, or is sort of at the tail end of coming up with a process, because they've got to offer contracts in May of this year, so in just a month or so. And they're all coming up with similar aspects to these programs. Most of them involve some sort of looking at the evaluation of teachers. So they take 3 or 4 years of evaluations of teachers. If teachers are rated very highly, they can somehow make the cutoff. And it's only for teachers who have reached career status or tenure. So that takes off a lot of the teachers. Mm-hmm. It only leaves about two-thirds of all teachers. And then they figure out the top 25% of them, and they're going to offer them contracts. Now, a lot of school districts have rebelled against this. More than two dozen have passed resolutions, school boards, to say, we don't want to do this. Please don't make us do this. There is no movement on it, so they're preparing to do it if it stays in its current situation.
And overall, pay has slipped for teachers. We used to be somewhere in the middle, North Carolina, somewhere in the middle of the pack in the way we pay teachers. Now we're falling way down to the bottom again. So there are some efforts in the pipeline to boost pay overall, aren't there?
That's right. North Carolina has been 46th in average teacher salaries for a couple of years, and even worse for teachers early in their careers. And that has prompted Governor McCrory to come up with a plan and other legislators too. And this is the key thing, right? Governor McCrory and legislative leaders have come up with a plan. A lot of times they're working separately on some things, but when they come up together, that shows a little bit of unity with the Republican Party. That means it's more likely to go through. And this plan is to pay teachers earlier in their career more. So teachers in the first 10 years of their career would make a higher salary than they currently do. A starting teacher with no local supplement makes $30,000 a year now. That would be bumped up to, say, $35,000. And that would make the state more competitive with early teachers with neighboring states. So that's the program that's probably going to have the best chance of getting through the legislature.
And that 25% mandate is still getting a lot of attention. Where does it stand right now?
It stands right now with all these districts are planning to do it. Now, whether they revisit it in the short session and change it somehow, we'll see. Anything can really happen. And there's a couple of lawsuits. The Guilford and Durham school boards have decided to go together on a lawsuit, and the North Carolina Association of Educators has a lawsuit. So some of this will be played out in the courts.
And how do we evaluate teachers? Is it just based on the numbers, on test scores? Are there subjective evaluations? How do you get to that?
Well, there are. It's mostly subjective evaluations at this point. They evaluate teachers based on standards. Six standards. Five of those standards are derived when a principal goes into a classroom and evaluates that teacher. If that teacher is early in their career, it happens 4 times a year. If that teacher has earned career status, it happens once a year. Five of them are checkboxes. There's more than 200 checkboxes, and they sit there for an hour or so every year and figure this out for teachers. Standard six is the one that's been added just recently. That is purely student test scores, and it's a program they call value added. They use a software program called EVOS, which is made by SAS, and that is this student in your class scores this on a test score. We predicted this student would score this. If you do better than the student does better than we thought, then you get a value added positive score. The student does worse, you get a worse score. So that is becoming more of it's having more of an impact. And whether that becomes plays a bigger role, and especially when you get to compensation issues, remains to be seen, but it's certainly something that legislators are looking at.
Does any of this also affect, or how does it affect, teachers who work in charter schools?
Not at all. Charter school teachers are hired and fired. Matter of fact, we don't even know what their salaries are because it's not – we can't get it as a public records request. We don't know. They're not on the standard schedule. In many cases, they don't even have to be certified. So we have no idea how any of this will work out. Probably charter schools will remain sort of this black box hidden from a lot of this, although there is some movement to at least find out what those teachers are making. Oftentimes, those teachers are making a little bit less. Anecdotally, I've talked to charter school teachers. They tend to make a little bit less than teachers on the standard schedule.
Now, we know that the legislature has opened the gates to allow more charter schools to open in the state, and the hope is that these experiments in education will somehow pave a way to a better educational standards overall. Is there an evaluation process underway so that we can really test whether the charter schools are doing better or worse than public schools, other public schools?
Not really. You know, the way you described it is not really how it's worked out. There's very little communication that goes on between charter schools and the districts in which they lie. The original intent was they would try these things, and if they worked, they would talk to the local school district, and that local school district could try it out in some of its schools. That has not happened. What's happened is it's essentially two different school systems have emerged, the traditional public schools and the charter schools, and even within charter schools, there's a lot of variation. There's for-profit charter schools, and there's not-for-profit charter schools. There are some that are started by educators. There are some that are started by business people. They all have different – they serve different communities. So thinking of charter schools as one entity is a misconception, but they are allowed to do a lot of different things. They still have to do the students have to take the tests, but they don't have to rely on those tests quite as much. There will be charter schools do have their charters revoked for various reasons. Most of the time, it's because financially they've started to fail, not necessarily because they're not serving students well.
They are taking public money, though.
They are absolutely taking public money.
So you've got a situation where maybe you'd have a whole set of schools that could be paying teachers less. They're not even part of this pay package, not part of the consideration of how we attract better teachers through higher pay. But if they're not being evaluated, we don't know if they're improving the system.
No, we don't. And a lot of it, you know, teachers who come out of especially if they're lateral entry teachers, let's say they decide in mid-career they want to become teachers, if they can't find jobs in traditional public schools where they want, a lot of times they're going to charter schools first and they get hired there. The salaries are competitive but not nearly as high as they are in traditional public schools, especially if you compare them to Wake County, Chapel Hill, where there's a local supplement. And they learn a little bit and then they leave. And there's a lot of turnover at charter schools. We don't know how much because we don't know a lot of things about teachers at charter schools, including how much they make. But we're hoping – And we've seen a lot of – Democrats mostly want this to be open, and we know Republicans are a little bit more resistant. But there are certainly some people in the Republican Party, legislators I'm talking about, who want to know these things so they can make better decisions.
So the short session starts in mid-May. What can we expect on this issue when that starts?
There's going to be a lot of movement. It could start slowly, and it could really pick up toward the end of the short session, as typically is the case in almost all legislation. But – you know, out of this task force, they're going to take some ideas. There's going to be some changes for sure. I think the standard schedule that we've paid teachers on for the last 100 years is going to change. Some merit-based component is going to show up in there. How that looks, who knows? We've seen some dramatically different programs and things be exposed to the legislatures. They've seen a lot of different things. They like a lot of the things that have happened elsewhere, particularly in Washington, D.C., with the Project Impact that Michelle Reed that fired a lot of teachers and it was a dramatic change. Probably not something that dramatic going to happen here, but something's going to happen.
Teachers are paying attention. They're organized. That is why the governor has stepped in to say they're going to pay teachers even more. He knows that teachers are paying attention, so I'm guessing that they're going to be organized and ready for the short session.
Absolutely. And there's no doubt that a lot of the hue and outcry we've heard in the last 8 months from teachers and parents has had an impact. You know, the Republicans passed a slate of changes that were – No other state has ever done as much to the teaching profession as we've done in the past year or so. And legislators heard it. And that's why these changes are happening. That's why we're seeing some more money go toward teacher salaries. We just don't know how and how much. There's going to be more transformation coming.
So let's move to higher education for just a second. UNC system was recently admonished by the state's budget director, Art Pope. Art Pope saying they've asked for too much money in its original proposal. UNC has since amended that. Give us the lay of the land now for the system and how it might fare in the short session.
Here's the big concern that folks with the UNC system have, that all this talk, we're talking about K-12 and all this money that's going to be going to teachers is going to come straight out of the UNC system budget. You know, there isn't going to be a dramatic amount of money. Taxes are not going up. So there isn't going to be a dramatic increase in money in the budget. Where is it going to come from? And traditionally, you've seen this push and pull between K-12, between health and human services, between the university system, which are the three biggest in the budget. UNC system people believe honestly that all that money that's going to public school teachers is going to come right out of their budget, and they're concerned.
All right, Dave, thanks very much for being with us. Dave DeWitt, education reporter at WUNC. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Coming up next, Dave, by the way, his three-part series comes up, Testing Teachers. It's going to air as part of our year-long North Carolina Teacher Project, and we'll hear that next week, and you can find it at WUNC.org. The science of beer is just ahead on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.